Tonight's preview of The Men of Big Brother 19 is sponsored by CanvasPeople.com. CanvasPeople.com is a great service which will allow you to take all of those pictures that you have on your phone or your camera that are just sitting there. Maybe if they're lucky, they go up to Instagram and people see them for like 5 seconds. Now, you could be turning those pictures into beautiful works of art. Create your own memory wall in your very own home with CanvasPeople.com. Canvas People does great work. Nicole and I have a great picture of the boys. We're going to be getting another one, and you can try out Canvas People as well right now with this great offer. You can get a photo up to 11 by 14 at $0. Just enter promo code RHAP in the promo code box to get that special $0 pricing. You just pay the shipping. It comes out to less than $20 total. You get a great photo that you can hang up in your home. I've heard from so many of the listeners that they've really had a great experience working with CanvasPeople.com. Why not give it a shot? Just pick out the photo you want to have hanging up on the wall and check out the website, CanvasPeople.com. Use the promo code RHAP for that special $0 pricing and select 11 by 14 photo. So give CanvasPeople.com a try. Just go to CanvasPeople.com, upload your photo, select the 11 by 14 size, and enter promo code RHAP in the promo code box to get that special $0 pricing. That's canvaspeople.com, promo code RHAP. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who really can't wait to talk about The Men of Big Brother 19. I'm Rob Sestrino, everybody, and welcome back to our Big Brother Men's Preview, Big Brother 19. Last night was ladies' night, but tonight we're talking about the bros, and I've got two of my bros with me to do it, of course. First up, that he is a man that we like to call Old Reliable, and here he is, and he's got a new look. It's Alex Kidwell with a backwards baseball cap.
That's right. I'm all broed out for the night daylight dudes we got going on here.
New look, steamy, Alex.
Steamy pot of nude dude to look over here.
Did you say a steamy pile of nude dude? Is that what you said?
Something like that. I don't know.
Okay. All right. The hat might be on a little too tight. You want to loosen it up a little bit. I got my snap back. And I got it backwards, and that's how I'm going to roll. Alex is too much time with the bad boy of podcasting that he's going for a bad boy look, too, now. So there he is. Alex,
he's a bro. He outbros us all.
Outbros us all. And then from the broiest city around, from Las Vegas, Nevada, here is Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm great. I was up all night at the American Ninja Warrior finals last night, and I woke up like an hour ago, so good to go.
Well, that's what everybody says about, Vegas, that if you're going to be, up all night in Vegas, really what you want to be is at an American Ninja Warrior watching people do obstacles. That's really the number one activity at 4 a.m. in Las Vegas, watching that obstacle course over and over again.
I feel like that's perfectly representative of who I am, Rob.
How hot is it there, Taryn? It's not melting your circuitry, is it?
It was like 118 degrees yesterday. I don't know what it is today.
Very hot for Taryn, but it's going to be hot up in here because we're talking about the 8 men of Big Brother. If you missed it last night, we got to our Big Brother ladies preview. We went through half the cast last night. We have the other half coming up. Of course, the LFC, you guys are planning on a get together, right? Taryn, have you planned out when the LFC draft is going to be?
We're working on it. We're hoping sometime this weekend, but we're still finalizing like how to get everyone together.
Okay, so be on the lookout for that, and we'll see if we have an announcement coming in the next couple of days. Of course, the Big Brother premiere is only 8 days away, coming up on Wednesday, the 29th. On the old CBS, or sorry, the 28th, and then also on the 29th. So a two-night premiere coming up, so be on the lookout for that. And then, of course, you know, Big Brother is around the corner, and that means that the live feeds are coming too. RobHasAWebsite.com/live feeds is our link. If you want to get your hands on the CBS All Access, watch those live feeds. Be right in there in the RHAP chat room on the live feeds with the LFC and all of the RHAP fans watching the live feeds. You could be right in there and hanging out, talking about all the crazy things that these guys are going to be talking about. RobHasAWebsite.com/live feeds. Get 1 week free. I think it's $5.99 a month after that, and you help support Rob as a podcast. Okay, so we're going to get into the these guys. Is there anything that you want to touch on that I got to talk to Alex the other night about everything going on? But Taryn, is there anything that you wanted to say about the cast in general before we got into the preview?
I don't think I have anything new to say, really. I mean, I like that there's an older skew with this cast. I like that there's a decent amount that seem like they're fans or at least knowledgeable about the show, which is something that I always push for. So I'm cautiously optimistic about this cast.
Okay. So we'll see if that cautious optimism is rewarded or not in just a couple of days. Of course, hashtag RHAP if you want to get your questions into the show. Scott St. Pierre is standing by. And so let's jump into talking about Matthew from Arlington, Virginia, the renovation consultant, fun, competitive, and silly, and a connection to Alex Kidwell. Alex, if people missed the show the other morning, tell us a little bit about Matthew.
Yeah, so I don't know Matthew personally, but I have a really good friend who works with Matt every day and was, you know, one of the people who was recommending he go on and apply for this show because they felt like he'd do really well. This is actually one of the only friends I have that I've always said would do really well on Big Brother. They both work at a home remodeling company that is, it's really tough, man. I mean, the kind of sales he's doing is not easy because I've done it myself. And I'll just say, you know, you're on with my colleagues last night, Brent and Melissa, and I understand their frustration not getting to do the male cast because there's some fun characters here. But, you know, as soon as they have a connection with somebody on a cast, they can pick to do whoever they want.
Okay. Now, all right. Now, Alex, let's get something out of the way, okay? Because this is something that, you know, certainly came up during the Big Brother Canada, where, you know, our team that we know a lot of people that were going to be on that cast in Big Brother Canada 5. Will you be pulling any punches? Because I've heard from this, from some concerned listeners that you might be giving preferential, favorable treatment on the show to your friend. Did it, true or false?
He's not my friend. I've never met the guy. So,
okay, yeah. So a friend of a friend. But will you be caving to support from his friends or family?
No.
Okay.
I'm just excited to like know that someone's going into the Big Brother house where like, yeah, I mean, you know, a guy who's talked to him about the show is like one of the only people I know who I've tried to say like, dude, you should apply for the show. You'd be really good.
Next
so I'm
question.
Just really interested.
Next question. Did you give him instructions to target any specific players in this season? Yes or no?
I haven't talked to him.
Okay. All right. Good. I want to get this all out of the way. Gonna get all right, this all
yeah,
up front.
No, I have no real connection with him other than we know the same person and I used to work where he works.
You guys are That's Eskimo it. Brothers, correct?
let's get Taryn's thoughts here.
Okay. Taryn, well, do you think listen, that Alex is Eskimo brothers with Matthew?
I think it's very clear that this is true.
All right.
Yeah. I mean,
Yeah, go ahead, Tara.
the response to that question tells me this is 100% true. When he's like, "Oh, it's a friend of a friend," like, we know who this friend is. Let's be clear.
Look, man, I mean, he's saying all the right things in the interviews. Like, I don't know that he's like a big fan or anything. I don't know that he's ever seen a podcast. Okay. I certainly don't think he knows who I am, but he's saying all the right things in the interviews.
It's gonna be good. Alex Kidwell shout outs as soon as the I want to thank my boy Alex Kidwell, who taught me everything
probably
I know.
Probably
Eskimo brother
that.
From another mother.
The only thing I might be able to claim is, like, maybe in a reverse way, if he does well, I could say, like, I tried to convince the guy who convinced him. Maybe I could try to make that argument. It's a reach. Okay, even that's a reach.
Taryn, what do you think?
When he runs the game and he's super boring, everyone's going to be like, wow, Alex Kidwell is running the house from outside the house. Alex Kidwell ruined the season. Great job, Alex Kidwell.
Yeah, all we need is some care packages. Okay. Now, and it'll make my funeral complete.
We'll see. All right, so let's talk for real a little bit about Matthew. All right, so we got sort of Alex's take on him the other night. So, Taryn, what is your thoughts on Matthew after you read through his bio and saw him talk with Big Jeff?
Yeah, he's kind of an interesting character here. He seems very personal, seems very charismatic. He definitely gets along with Jeff very well. It seems like he seems, as Alex mentioned, he seems like the kind of guy that would do very well. He's obviously very handsome. Brent has pointed that out to me many times. I feel like he is the kind of guy that is equipped to do well here, but I think his inexperience with Big Brother is probably going to be a little bit of a hindrance to him. And I don't like that he says he would rather be loved and lose. I feel like his priorities might be in the wrong place, especially for a guy that seems so otherwise cagey. Like, I don't want a cagey guy to also be like not paying attention to the strategy and not like, if you're going to be somebody that's like, oh, I just want to hang out and like be friends with everybody, I don't want you to also be super cagey seeming, because then you're going to get targeted for no reason.
Alex, is this going to be a wild man in the house?
It could be. I mean, you know, he's definitely going to be social. He's going to be personal. He's going to have a lot of fun. And, you know, according to my buddy, he's definitely going to be a ladies' man, whether or not he's going to find one girl or he's going to be, you know, really, you know, trying to, you know, work game with multiple girls, I think remains to be seen. But the idea of him going an entire summer without female interaction seems very implausible to those that I've talked to that know him. So okay. I guess we'll leave it at that.
Got that. Yeah. Okay. It's not much left unsaid.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. According to his bio, a fun fact, he's been naked in the Planet Hollywood Las Vegas hotel lobby. Taryn, you're in Vegas. Have you heard anything about this?
Yeah, I mean, they talk about him all the time here, like this crazy guy. He did this amazingly crazy thing. It's so quirky, and everybody loves it. It's the talk of the town.
They have his picture at the concierge. Like,
yeah. He also really likes Donnie
Thompson.
Because it's
never happened before.
The great friend of the podcast, Donnie Thompson. Great beard, wore camo, good dude, fun, little man. Why is Donnie Thompson a little man?
Yo, little man, Donnie Thompson.
Something about fun little man just like, yeah. Makes me laugh.
It's very condescending. I hope that's not how he talks to people in the house who he doesn't see as like alpha males, because I think that's really going to put him at a disadvantage with them.
He also really loves panda videos and funny animal videos. I didn't even know that panda videos were a big thing.
Yeah, I mean, pandas there's that cute. One of the panda sneezing. I know about that. That was pretty big for a while.
Haven't panda you seen- gifts? Those are popular.
Watch one panda video. You've seen them all?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. It's kind of like cat videos.
Well, until I see, you know, yeah, I guess you never know. I mean, maybe one day we'll see one solving algebra and I'll have to readjust my opinion. I'll be forced to.
Okay. All right. So last night we ranked everybody on a scale of friendship to pissed. So, Taryn, what are you thinking about Matthew?
I'm kind of in the middle here, so I think I'd go in the middle, which is never cared, I believe. Mm-hmm. I think he has upside for sure, but I also think he has a lot of downside, so I'm kind of like right in the, I wouldn't say never cared, because I do care. I think he's either one or the other, but I'm in the middle in terms of like what I think.
Okay. All right. Alex, what about, your boy has to be friendship?
Yeah, your boy. I mean, it does. But even if I didn't have the connection through Pat, I would still say friendship, because I just like what I'm hearing from the interviews. I think he seems like he has a winning personality. Jeff said that four people stood out to him in his interview with Brian. Shout out to Brian from Hollywood Reporter. And he said it was, I believe, Matt and Mark were the two guys that really jumped out to him as, you know, really being personable. And, you know, I think that's important. Jeff's played twice. You know, he has a very short amount of time with these people. And the two that's, you know, or the four, rather, I should say, that stand out among the 16, I think that means something to me when I'm just have so little to go on.
Could he kick the mosquito's ass?
You know, I don't know. I think maybe he'd try to hug it out. And I think he'd win him over.
Okay,
that's what I think.
All right. Get naked.
He'd sell him some new gutters.
You don't want to be naked around a giant mosquito.
Would you rather fight a giant mosquito one time?
You don't want to.
That's keeping the relationship the same, Rob.
Yeah. All right. I will say I'm probably never cared. I wouldn't say I'm anything about pissed, but I mean, you could sort of envision sort of like a John Party-esque sort of run where he comes in, doesn't really know anything about the game, ends up figuring it out on the fly. But I think that's probably unlikely.
Yeah, I'm on board with that.
That's my thought on that. Okay. All right. Let's
Alex
talk about...
Alex is disappointed.
Sorry,
we'll
Alex.
See. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Look, this is all just speculation.
He could go deep.
From now,
he could Jace it up and, you know, be gone the first week. It could absolutely happen. I'm not going to say it can't.
Okay, let's talk about Jason, our rodeo clown, who gave, I think, the shortest answers out of anybody. There's some people in their bios. There was like a page and a half his entire bio, I think, is like 30 words. So he is the rodeo clown who is charismatic, ambitious, and athletic. His favorite activity is predictably rodeo. He is worried about using the bathroom. I don't know necessarily what aspect of using the bathroom is concerning to him. They asked him, do you have a strategy for winning the game? He said yes.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah. And he also said that he's already playing. Storyteller extraordinaire. My stories are true, very handy, very creative, and infectious.
How can a story be handy? That story is not going to fix my sink.
Well, maybe the story is about fixing the sink. Did I tell you about
someone
one time
still
that
got to do the handiwork
was leaking? We'll see how handy his stories are when he's in a house covered with ants.
I'd call that practical at best. It's still not handy.
He had a great story about his strategy to win the game.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about Jason and his turn with Big Jeff. Taryn, what'd you think?
Right off the bat, I kind of liked, he was like, so wait, is it official that I'm on the show now? Like, is this good? Like, he was very cautious about, like, I liked the caution. I liked the sort of, you know, he wasn't willing to just like immediately spill everything. He was like, this is, we're good, right? I think that's good instincts for playing the game. That said, he's never really seen the show and he really doesn't want to prepare at all, which, you know, probably not the greatest thing, especially if you're the kind of guy like he is, who's not really probably going to be able to relate to the other house guests very well. I doubt any of them have known a bull, whatever he is, does things with bulls, rodeo clown. Like, you know, like how is he going to relate to all of these city people, these, you know, millennials, 30 something year olds? I feel like he needs a little bit more of a game plan here. I would like him to lie low and use this whole like clown thing to his advantage. But he's not saying that. He could have good instincts, which I do think he may have displayed, but it's hard to tell.
Okay. Alex, what's your take on Jason?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the thing he said yes in the bio, like, you know, I was willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. Like, all right, maybe he's cagey and he's just, you know. But then when Jeff, like, you know, once you get to the verbal interview and you can't really elaborate, I think it becomes pretty evident that when, like, the screws are put to this guy and he's forced to make difficult, nuanced decisions about, like, the social mechanics of the house for his own betterment in the game, that's going to be something that... I think there's going to be, boy, that's a head scratcher one or two times here this season where I think Jason's just going to be kind of like operating without the full deck of cards. But also, I think that, you know, might be a reason why he's not a threat and he's not taken out early because, you know, as we've seen before, like if you're perceived as in any way a bit of an outsider or as someone that's not seeing everything that everyone else is seeing, you know, the big you know, the big players can kind of like avoid targeting you right away because they don't necessarily worry about you rallying other votes or picking up pieces.
Do we see Jason as being somebody who is very popular with the viewers in the same way? Does he have Donnie upside in terms of popularity, Taryn?
I saw him more as a James, to be honest. I mean, he's even just like a clown. I see him as somebody who's going to be trying to be funny. I mean, I think his entire goal for being on the show, he talked about, you know, this is the dream for rodeo clowns. Like, I'd rather lose and be loved because that will open more doors to me going forward in my life. He's on here to be a big character, and I think he's going to try. Whether he succeeds is something that we're going to have to find out.
Yeah.
I wonder if this will be the first season that, like, oh, by chance, there's a unicycle in the house. Look at that. Like, how about that? You go ahead and do what you do.
Is that a common activity of the rodeo clown, the unicycle?
I have no idea.
Or you're just vamping on that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we'll see. I don't have a lot to go on here. You know, he could be popular. I mean, I think that he certainly is different than the other people that are in this house. And by, you know, that nature, you know, that somebody who can entertain and sort of help pass the time is going to be helpful. And if he's not going to get involved in the social politics, you know, in a lot of the same way that I talked about Ty going into the Survivor season, if he could just be like this nice guy who's lovable, who everybody enjoys spending time with, I think he'll do really well. But when he tries to get really involved in like the scheming and the plotting, that's where he finds himself in trouble. So if he can sort of just like stay out of the way, especially if he doesn't know what he's doing, then I think that that's probably the best course of action for him until he gets his feet under him. And I'm not talking about when he's riding the unicycle.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
And to clarify, he could ride a unicycle. Just because he doesn't mean he can't. All right, chat room.
I think he could go far, but I don't see a lot of winner upside with him.
No. Okay. So on the scale of friendship to pissed, Alex, what do you think?
I think, yeah, I got to go never cared. I think Taryn just said it.
Okay.
I like him for the jury. I don't like him for winner's equity, as you like to say.
Okay. All right, Taryn.
Yeah, I got to go pissed. I don't care about big characters. I just want to see strategy, and I don't think he's going to bring that.
Pissed!
They asked him, what would you like to take into the house and why? He says a trampoline, a radio,
yeah.
And Olay, my bull. He's my best friend. He's best friends with a bull.
Look,
it seems like a solid strategy because it could gore your opponents.
I mean, how good is this social game if his best friend is a bull? I mean, you would think if he had a really great social game, his best friend would be a person, right? Somebody would say, like, hey, I want to be best friends with you.
He's so good socially that he can even befriend bulls.
Okay.
Look at it from that perspective.
All right. Let's keep going and let's talk about Cameron Hurd. You heard. Here we go. Heard that. Let's talk about Cameron, the microbiologist. Very into Rubik's Cubes. Nobody else has done a Rubik's Cube since 1987, but except for Cameron. He's been doing all of them. He knows everything about Rubik's Cubes, and he has a lot of plans. He's really has a very extensive bio. He likes to bicycle ride. He's coming in. I feel like that he is, you know, we're seeing him a lot as people are talking about, is this a new Ian? I think that maybe he's less Ian and more Johnny Mack. What do you think of that, Alex?
Interesting. Although I think Johnny Mack was very good at laying low. And everything I get from Cameron seems like he's going to want to be a big player. I mean, he talks about how he's a snowboarder. He wants to win the competitions and make big moves and be confrontational if it comes to it. And, you know, that was certainly something Johnny Mack was good. Like, people would come at John and he would just laugh or bite his tongue. And I wonder if that's the big difference. I think Cameron, I almost maybe more of a Ronnie Talbot for me, in that he comes in saying all the right things and seemingly being a multi-leveled, you know, multifaceted threat. He's intelligent. You know, he knows, you know, history of the game. He's watched RHAP. Like, he's clearly a big fan. But there's just like something about some of the things he's saying and, you know, some of the, you know, that he says he has a hard time avoiding confrontation. Like, I think that's a big, big red flag, you know, and there's not a lot. Again, we don't have a lot to go on, but of the little we've seen, I think Cameron is like maybe a little bit of fool's gold for me in that, like, he should do well on paper, but I don't know that he will.
Now, Taryn, there's some question about his glasses. I believe in the video with Big Jeff, he was not wearing glasses. He's wearing glasses in the picture. Do you think that he could she's all that it up and remove the glasses and not get painted with that Ian Steve comp?
I think he should. I mean, in his Jeff interview, he said that they made him take his glasses off, and he was apologizing for that, saying, like, I'm sorry that I don't have my glasses on, which makes me think he wants them on, but I don't think he should want them on. I think he should be 100% glasses off, you know, be Stefan as opposed to Steve. And, like, really, you know, like, he's
Cam, not Cameron.
Exactly. Especially coming right off of, you know, Steve being a recent winner. Ian, like, Steve had the whole Ian thing used against him many times, but he was able to get through it. I don't know if somebody like Cameron can get past the image of a nerdy guy, because he doesn't have, or he seemingly doesn't have, the weaknesses that come along with that. The reason why people are like, Steve, he's so dangerous, he's like Ian, but he's also a teddy bear. He's also like this really harmless guy. I don't know if Cameron has that same angle. I don't think people are going to see Cameron as harmless.
Yeah, in fact, I could very easily see him winning first HOH, and then that sets him up, I think, to be targeted much sooner.
Yeah, Cameron does come in as somebody who has a lot of experience watching the show. Here's a clip of him with Jeff.
I'm a super fan of the show. I've been watching the show for years. I watch live feeds with you guys. I listen to Big Brother podcasts, like Rob has a podcast. I go on the Big Brother subreddit. I'm a huge fan. Oh, my gosh. I don't have my glasses. They took my glasses. I usually wear glasses. Sorry about that.
They took his glasses, Taryn.
Yes, they took him away.
Don't hold that care package against them just for that. It's not his fault.
It's like when they
should
took the cigarettes
Cameron
from Kent.
Get his glasses. Yeah. Okay. Boy. So hopefully that they'll let him have his glasses in the house.
No, hopefully they don't. Because I think he'll do better without them.
Withhold. Withhold.
He'll do better without them. Okay. So this will be interesting to see how, you know, somebody who goes into the house with a lot of knowledge, listening to a lot of podcasts, then if they do really bad this season, then we could get a lot of blood on our hands of hearing about how podcasts and specifically this one ruined Big Brother, Taryn.
Well, I feel like they're more likely to say we ruined Big Brother if he does really well and just like dominates the game and makes it really boring.
Who's more likely to get us heat for ruining Big Brother? The guy that Alex knows or the guy that says he listens to this podcast?
I think the guy that Alex knows, to be honest.
I don't know him.
All right, good. Get that off, blood off my hands.
Well, hopefully next year, you know, it can get to a point where it's a big Jeff question where he says something like, now, would you rather go ahead and listen to the podcast and be hated by America or not listen to the podcast and lose the game?
Would you rather listen to a podcast and ruin Big Brother or not listen to the podcast and then fight a mosquito? Okay. So, yeah.
Nailed it.
Speaking of the Rubik's Cube thing, I like, if you're a listener of the American Ninja Warrior podcast, you know my view on Rubik's Cubes, and you know I think they're ridiculous. Like, he was not the only person to say he does Rubik's Cubes. Cody also says in his fun facts that he can do a Rubik's Cube in under 1 minute. Like, why do people think this is impressive? Just look at a YouTube video, and you can figure out how to do a Rubik's Cube.
Okay. All right, well, we'll see if that's a challenge, if that has any benefit whatsoever. Taryn, what do you think about the strategy that he ultimately said he had?
You know, he's clearly a fan of the podcast. I think he knows what to say in terms of, like, what he wants to do. He says he looks at the game like a chess game. You know, that's kind of like buzzwords. But I like what he said about the different parts of the game. The first part, you just make sure you don't lose, essentially. Second part, you set up the pieces in the way that you want them to be set up. Third part, you execute on that plan. I think that's perfect in terms of what you want to do. There's a lot of details that he's missing, but it's not like he could go into details in the interview. So I think he's saying all the right things for the most part. But can he execute on that? Probably not. But maybe he'll still do well.
Right. The goal, I really think, the first, you know, I say go to sleep. The real goal of the first 30 days is just go in there and be likable. Get every single person having a good feeling about you in those first 30 days and then see what happens after that.
Yeah, clean up after yourself. Bathe from time to time.
Yeah. Okay. Do we like the hashtag BB Nerd Herd?
That, I mean, seemed really misguided.
It's been done.
I mean, not for anything. Is this sort of like riding on the coattails of Paul last season saying, your boy, I'm going in the house. I'm going to make the most unpopular Big Brother alliance in history. I'm going to make that a thing. And then is Cameron sort of like, oh, no, I'll see your friendship. I'm going to raise you, nerd herd.
Yeah, well, Maggie's legacy is strong even today. Yes.
Do you think do you think the producers are trying to like erase that from their history? Like,
yes.
We have friendship and the nerd herd, but we're just going to like
we're taking
co-opt
it back.
Those,
we're taking turn it them back. Into something that never happened. Retcon the nerd herd. Retcon friendship.
Yeah. Next, they're coming for season 15.
Yeah, next season wants somebody to come in. Yeah, my nickname is Cappy, and that's what all my friends call me. So we'll go with that. All right. Friendship to pissed. Taryn, what's your thoughts on Cameron?
You know, I think he's saying all the right things. I think that the fact that he is a fan, that he knows the strategy, I think he seems decently personable. Just on paper alone, I think I have to go friendship.
Friendship.
I think he's got a lot of upside. That said, he could obviously crash and burn like sure. many of these people have. But
I
think for the most part... Yeah, exactly. I think more often friendship than anything else. So I'll definitely go friendship.
Alex.
Yeah, I'm going to say friendship because it's cool. I feel like anytime I hear someone shout out the podcast, I'm going to say friendship. That's cool, okay. Man. We don't have that many Big Brother play. It's not Survivor. You know what I mean? We don't have as many people listening before they go in the house, which is, you know, it's cool. So, but on that same token, like Taryn said, I don't necessarily think he's one of the highest up there in terms of likelihood to win, just because, you know, looking at this cast, I think maybe he's going to have a hard time finding people to work with.
Okay. So Alex is saying friendship.
Yeah.
Friendship
with an asterisk.
Friendship with an asterisk. That's how you get a fancy Fencerton on Twitter. I actually thought he was good with Big Jeff. I thought that he was fun, and I didn't think that he was like socially awkward or anything like that. I'll give him a friendship as well. Even without the RHAP shout out, I liked Cameron. So let's see what happens with him. All right. Let's talk about Mark. Mark Jansen. He's from Grand Island, New York, which I looked up, and upstate New York. He's a personal trainer. He is fun, strong, and thoughtful. And his life's motto is fear none, regret less. He's a bodybuilder that he played D1 college football. He went to an NFL combine, and now here he is. He would love to take protein into the Big Brother house. You can't have too much of it. So let's talk about Mark. Alex, what's your thoughts on Mark?
I like Mark. I think he comes off real personable. I think he understands enough about this game to know kind of, you know, basically what to do. And kind of, I think he's going to be able to find his footing. I don't think most people would target Mark right away because I feel like they would fear the repercussions of him getting off the block and coming back. So I think he has time probably to carve out a good niche in the house. And, you know, I don't know if he's necessarily going to win, but he seems like, you know, a very loyal guy. And he's probably someone that I could see in a majority alliance that makes a deep run for sure.
Okay. Taryn, I thought that when I just saw the picture of Mark, I said, okay, here we go. This guy's probably going to be a meathead idiot. But I thought that with his interview with Big Jeff, I thought he seemed pretty nice.
Yeah, I did too. Not a meathead, a sneakerhead. He wants to bring some Jordans into the house because he's a sneakerhead.
Sneakerhead?
That just makes me picture somebody with a sneaker as a head, and that just is a weird thought. So, Thanks, Mark. But yeah, he seems very thoughtful. He had this whole story about you know, losing his father and then his mother at early ages, and I think that's something that's clearly a big part of his personality. He talks about it in a lot of his interviews, and I don't know. He seems like a very nice, down to earth guy. He says he's a teddy bear. He likes the big tough guy persona, but. It doesn't, he's never really able to like make that come across. It actually reminded me of what I thought of Devin going into Big Brother 16, where he has this rough exterior, but he seemed like a very like sensitive guy on the inside. Will Mark turn out like Devin? Probably not, but you never know.
Wow, you should be so lucky.
But no, I think Mark is the kind of guy. He'll get in with he says his downfall is going to be girls. I'm not a huge fan of that. He also says he would rather win because he thinks surely if you win, then everyone must love you. And that tells me that he doesn't have a very good understanding of what it means to win the game. I don't see him winning in many scenarios, but I could see him going far if he gets in with a good group of people. I think he'll be loyal. I think people will like him. But I don't think he has the cutthroat nature needed to win the game.
He wants to work with the girls, and so does Matt. So they're going to do that, and then they're going to be a final two deal, and he's going to be the Memphis to Matt's Dan. That's what's going to happen.
Matt and Mark as an alliance, this sounds very confusing. I mean, it feels like that we're just going to get confused all summer long. And probably terrible idea for these two bros to just get together in the game, right?
Well, that's why they'll dub themselves the Assassins or some M&Ms, such silliness. Yeah.
The M&M Alliance. Okay. It's better than PP.
It is better than PP, but I mean, that's sort of like damning with faint praise. Yeah.
PP always pulls through.
Factual.
All right. Yeah. So Mark is coming in. He's a recruit, right?
No, I think he was actually a fan of the show. Okay. I think he said he's been watching since high school, which was at least 8 years ago. So.
All right. So here is Mark, and he's been watching the show. He says that, which cast member do you like most? He said Brendan, who, I mean, what terrible taste he has in cast members, right?
Yeah, Brendan, the worst.
He's in the chat room. I'm messing around.
You set us up for a joke that nobody wanted to finish.
Yeah. Okay. So that being said, okay. Mark, friendship to piss, Taryn.
I will go, never cared on this one. I think, I think he could go far, but I don't think he has a great chance to win. So, Brendan in the chat saying he is a genius.
He's a genius.
Brendan, friendship for Brendan, but, never cared.
Never cared.
Me.
Okay. Alex.
I'll say friendship. I think he is a good casting choice from the simple standpoint that he represents like a big physical imposing competition type of archetype, but he clearly seems like he's going to have a social game much more so than some of the people we've seen in there. He's not going to be a Jeremy in there. So
right.
I think that's
but
good.
But did we identify Jeremy was going to be a Jeremy going into it? Like, I'd love to sort of like watch those preseason interviews. They're like, oh, this is Jeremy. It seems like he's a nice guy. He's not going to be like, but you know, it's like a weekend and are we getting a bottle of wine in here tonight? And people lose their minds.
He's yelling at everyone to guard their meat. Yeah, what's going on?
Yeah, so I'll
stealing
say
people's
friendship.
Sneakers.
Right.
Friendship.
There's no reason not to like him yet, but I mean, it's just like that. He's just like all of these elements on their own seem innocuous enough, and then we just like start pouring them all in the container, and then everything could go haywire.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about, speaking of haywire, let's talk about my boy, Josh Martinez, a little bit of a confession. About 6 months ago, I was contacted by Josh Martinez. He said, I'm in the casting for Big Brother. Rob, I want to come in and intern for you and teach me everything you know and load it into me. And then take me under your wing. So we've been working together for 6 months. I hadn't said anything to anybody. And so we have constructed the perfect Big Brother contestant in the laboratory.
Nice. He was totally sponging from Ica too in that interview.
No, I wish. Here's Josh. Here's Josh. And he's ready to go. Okay. Josh, 23, from Miami, Florida, gave one of the greatest interviews of all time to Big Jeff on Monday. Here's a quick clip from Josh talking to Josh coming in to talk to Big Jeff.
Que hola mi gente, my name's Josh, 23, from Miami, Florida, baby.
This guy is jazzed up, let me tell you.
He was repeatedly like, Jeff had told him before we started, okay, no swearing. He could not stop dropping F-bombs to save his life in 5 minutes with Big Jeff. He could not even control it for a couple of minutes. And he's ready to go here coming into Big Brother 19. People have said that he is some combination of Devin and Glenn. I mean, you could add in all of these elements together. I could not be more excited than I am for Josh coming into this season.
Woo! This guy.
I can't wait for people to assume the connection between you and Josh is stronger than the one between Alex and Matt.
Yes, yes. We'll see if I was joking
based
around
on the
or
joke.
Not. Okay. Yeah. He is really pumped up. He's crazy. He's adventurous. He's down for new experiences. I had tweeted yesterday that I can't wait. Thank you in advance, Josh, for giving us the best week of live feeds ever before he inevitably is the first person voted out of the house. And then I was told that, no, well, actually, Rob, that there are no live feeds for the first week of the house. So this could be a Keith's Angel situation where we miss the best week of live feeds of the season.
It's very true. Woo!
Don't put that out in the universe.
Yes. He is jazzed up and he is on the block already and he is out the door and he is evicted. Sorry. This guy would fight the giant mosquito. No questions asked.
Yeah.
If he had the choice of would you keep your relationship with mosquitoes as is or would you fight the giant mosquito?
Would you rather fight a giant mosquito one time and get your ass whipped by it?
He's the one that Jeff is actually asking the question to. Listen, he says,
would you rather fight a giant mosquito one time and get your ass whipped by it?
Yeah.
Or would you like the relationship that you have and never get bit again? Or do you like the relationship that you have with mosquitoes right now?
He would rather wait for the second mosquito. He's like, it was the question could have been, would you rather get your ass beat by a giant mosquito or would you rather get $1 million? Like, he already said yes to the first part.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Maybe there was like there was a conversation we missed off camera where he's like running in like, man, I got all these mosquito bites, man. Mosquitoes in Florida, man. They're ridiculous, man.
Well,
and Jeff's
all right,
let's do something with that there.
He's triggered. He's triggered from being in Miami with all the mosquitoes. So he's ready. He's ready to go.
Some say they're practically dragons.
Woo!
Dragons. All right.
They're big down there. Big.
All right. Let's put it on let's take Cameron's rose colored glasses and put them on. Okay. Paint the upside for me, Taryn, for Josh.
I think that maybe like an A baller kind of thing where he's like kind of like crazy and abrasive, but people just see him as Josh. Like, that's Josh. It's just Josh. He's having fun. He's not a threat to anyone. He's just a crazy person. Like, we don't need to worry about Josh because he's so impulsive. He's, maybe even like a Zach Rantz kind of thing where he's talking about like, I want to go in there and, you know, betray people and be ruthless. But when he gets actually in there, he doesn't really have the tools to do so. So he doesn't seem like much of a threat. So he goes kind of far. I think that's probably the most upside we have for Josh.
Like Justin from BBOTT, kind of.
Well, but Justin from OTT was, hey, I'm just going to chill. Like, he just wanted to sort of like lay back and had a good temperament for Big Brother for the most part. Whereas they're asking Josh about his strategy. He says, oh, I've got a huge strategy to play in the game. It's simple. Lie, cheat, and manipulate. Lie and deceive all these meatballs, in parentheses, losers, into doing what I want as I win comps and make them think we're best friends. So this is like, he's already like a lunatic coming in 200 miles an hour. He's a big guy. He wants to win comps and lie to everybody.
I really think this is like a better version of Zach Rantz. I think that's because that's exactly what Zach Rantz was saying preseason.
Yeah, we love Zach Rantz in the preseason, and he gave great interviews. Some of the best stuff was from Zach Rantz, maybe only second to Josh Martinez. So we'll see. But he's coming in hot, ready to go.
Very hot.
Woo! Yeah, just we got to get him to week two. We got to get him to week two. Okay. Rachel in the chat room says his Ika interview was impressive. I can't wait to watch that. I can't wait to see Ika and Josh Martinez on the screen at the same time. All right.
It wasn't
Alex.
Even an interview. He just kept laughing and just, woo! He was so extra.
All right. Talk to me, Alex. Friendship or pissed?
I think we need to change the scale and go woo.
Yes, so woo is higher than friendship.
It's on par. It's just a slightly updated version for a new season.
Okay.
Woo!
Taryn.
In terms of entertainment, I'll go friendship. I don't think he'll do well strategically, though.
I mean, yeah, that's
friendship.
Give him friendship. I say friendship as well.
Friendship.
But you know, with. If he's still in the house by the 4th of July, that we consider this a minor miracle.
Yes. This is like what we said of Johnny Mack. Like, if Johnny Mack can make it through the season and potentially win, it would make for an amazing season. I think that's even more so true of Josh. If Josh wins this season, I think we're looking at a very entertaining one.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is here that Big Brother, like, this guy, if he was on Survivor, I think would have a better chance to do something. Because, you know, Survivor, like, naturally sort of, like, weakens you as you go along. And you sort of, like, people have their space. And he could be, you know, he's a big guy. He could help his team win challenges. But the Big Brother house is so claustrophobic. You have a big, loud person who's moving fast. It's just so disconcerting. It takes up all the oxygen in the house. And people can only stand somebody like this for so long, and that's this much energy. It's always a great 2 or 3 weeks of feeds when we get this type of thing, but I'm very concerned about it.
Yeah. He's going to have to take well-timed naps to avoid overdoing early on.
Yes, like when Zach was able to come down off the block when he was just spent enough time sleeping that it was enough that his alliance was able to change things around. So
I'm going to disappear for 56 hours. You guys, let me know what's up.
Right. So if Josh could sleep like 17 hours a day, that could be pretty good for him.
Yeah, let's go with that plan.
Okay. All right. Speaking of Zach's alliance, let's talk about my brother Cody.
My brother Cody
2.0. Here he is. Let's start with maybe the Cody that sucks, Taryn. Is that fair to say?
Sure. Yeah, I think that's probably true.
Okay. Here is this Cody, and that we talked a little bit last night about some of the women that I don't know why they're here. I don't know why this guy is here. I don't know, but why is that? Can somebody explain this to me, Alex?
You know, he's we always get this guy. What are you talking about, Rob? Where have you been?
I mean, what is this guy?
Is that aforementioned vanilla yogurt?
Vanilla yogurt? That's what this guy. And we don't have enough vanilla yogurt already.
It depends on who you ask, I suppose.
This guy is here to be hated. I really think that's true. I think that he is here for everyone to hate. He is like the Pauly of this season. He's here so that he pisses off like half the audience.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to hate this guy?
I think so.
Okay.
I think he was like kind of low key. I think that you know, he's not going to be super entertaining, but like especially toward the end of that Jeff interview when he talks about victim noises, and he also says in his fun facts about himself, he says stuff like, I have never done this, I've never done this, I've never been offended, not once. I think he's here to offend people, and I think he's going to be that villain on
the show.
Yeah, he talked about victim noises with Ika too. It's a real selling point of his.
I have never heard of victim noises before Cody came into my life. Have you guys? Is that a thing?
Maybe for guys who are more alpha than you and I.
Is that
Rob,
it? And they
look
talk
at the
about
noises we make throughout the course of our days.
Victim noises? I think that might be all I make.
I was like,
Look, if he's a villain,
every noise that comes out of my mouth.
If he's a villain, I'm totally cool with that. Like that's fine. That's fine. That I just thought that he was kind of bland with Jeff, but I was like getting confused of like trying to follow like if he was being sarcastic or not in terms of what he was saying.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think, you know, he had this line too in his bio that, like, I don't negotiate with terrorists about whether or not he, you know, compromising the game or something like that. And it's just like, yeah, he just really seems like someone who's too straight up for this game. His whole, just everything about him makes me think of the one moment where Mike Lutz is like taunting Evil Dick to the point where Dick's putting him on the block and like he's like willing to go home for his principles. Like, that's what I think about when I look at this guy and read what he has to say. Someone's going to send him home for his prey. He's going to, like, take the bullet that really should have gone for someone else because he's, like, I don't know. You know, he's going to Clay Honeycutt it.
Okay.
He seems very opinionated. Like, he says things like, you know, I'm a father, and I think it's dumb when fathers come on the show and they say they want to teach their kids about integrity. Granted, I agree with him, but I think he has an opinion on like everything here. He doesn't cry. He's like completely adamant about the fact that he's not going to cry. I really like, he really just seems like this like alpha male, opinionated, offensive kind of character who's going to do something that pisses off the fan base and who's going to like try to run this game in a lot of different ways and not be like super entertaining while he does it, but definitely be somebody that a lot of people like to, you know, like pile onto.
Okay. I'll take that. I'll take that. That boring is the biggest sin that you could commit in my book. That doesn't sound that boring, Taryn. If he's really, you know, creating a lot of drama in the house, he doesn't need to be loud to do that. But if he's going to decide to, you know, consciously be a villain, I'm totally cool with that.
I think that's where we're going.
Okay.
I think the question with Cody is probably less like, you know, will he win the game, and more like, will calls be placed to Plano, Texas this season to try and get a vacancy in a construction sales rep position over there?
Yeah. So I feel like that does he have like a beast mode cowboy type upside, or that beast mode cowboy was sort of like came in and wanted to be a character? That's like the opposite of what Cody wants to do.
Caleb, to his credit, he's more go with the flow, right?
Yeah, you know, like Cody seems like he definitely has a game plan going, and he's watched the show. He knows the game. He even like when he talks about showmances, he says that he doesn't want to get into showmance unless he feels like that's what he needs to do to get in with people. It seems like everything that he wants to do in the game is to further his game. But I think that, again, like his opinionated nature is going to come out and get in the way of that. But I do think he's somebody that's going to be actively trying to play a lot. So it's going to be like, I really think Pauly is probably the best like recent comparison, where Pauly was doing pretty well, but then the, you know, kind of abrasive side of him came out and ruined his game. I think we'll see a similar dichotomy here with Cody.
Okay. He's never taken a selfie, never worn cologne, never worn a suit. Do we hope that he gets sort of a punishment like Paul had last season, where he had to be the Secret Service guy and he will have to wear a suit?
Well, does like silly, yeah, you know, beaver costume count as a suit? Is that a beaver suit, a suit?
Yeah, I can't. You'll break my streak. I never wore a suit. All right. All right. Friendship to piss, Taryn. What do you think?
I definitely want to see him have to do a punishment where he has to wear a suit and cologne and take a selfie and then cry. And he'll be so annoyed about it that he'll be offended. And we'll just get all of these out of the way.
Yeah.
So that he's done at least one of them each. I think I'm going to hate him, but I'm excited. I'm kind of excited to see what happens with him. So I'm going to go friendship here. And I know that's like
friendship
against everybody in the chat. And like I said, I think I'm going to hate him on the show, but I think I'm going to enjoy hating him on the show. So that's where
all
I'm
right,
going.
All right, Alex.
Pissed.
Okay.
Pissed.
I was pissed that I think Taryn talked me into a never cared. So I'm not pissed right anymore. I'm back in. I'm intrigued. I
go
back and watch him with Big Jeff. That was sort of like he came in towards the end of the 3 hours of sitting there, and I might have been a little punch drunk by that point. So I need to come back and go watch Cody again. Okay, let's talk about another interesting figure in this season. It's time to talk about Kevin Schluber. 55. He's a stay-at-home dad. He's got 7 kids, and I'm concerned about Kevin. I think that Kevin has been abducted from his family. He does not seem to know what happened. It looks like that he was taken away from his family and his kids, and they're putting him into this house. I think he has no idea what he's coming. He does not seem to really understand what he's getting into, why he's going in there. Like Karen in Big Brother Canada, she came in. She was a super fan. I talked to her before she went into the house. I was like, oh, okay, I got it. So she's a big personality. Taryn, I'm a little confused about what Kevin is doing here.
Well, he has these YouTube videos where his daughters just like stick a camera in his face and show him like K-pop groups. And I feel like this is just a big extended version of that, where they were like, go do Big Brother for us so that we can like watch you being filmed to doing this thing that we enjoy that you have no idea what you're talking about. That's exactly the vibe I got from Kevin.
They promised me enough money that I could refinish my kitchen. So I came. So I'm here.
Yeah.
Let's do this thing.
It was really bizarre, like him with Jeff, where like he was just like he was really like grabbing Jeff close, like he was like had Jeff like there like a prisoner, like he's like you know, he's like grabbing Jeff by the arm, he's like, "You're not going anywhere, sonny boy," and he was like going on and telling, he's like he says he's got the best stories and that he won't do a Christopher Walken impression, but he looks like a Christopher Walken according to Big Jeff. I just don't know how this is going to work out, but I originally said with Alex the other day that I thought, okay, he'll be out first. He's going to come in and play too hard. I actually don't see that. Put this guy in the final two against somebody who's going to win the game. He will be the first runner-up. I think he's right there on the Karen trajectory. What do you think of that, Taryn?
I think that's probably pretty close. I think he will do well. I think he's lovable. And I think that I think a lot of people like him right now. I think he might be kind of boring in the house. I think that he needs the right kind of stimulation to be entertaining.
Wow.
I hope I'm wrong. But you know, he has a hard time talking to Jeff. Like, he's not picking up on Jeff's cues at all. Jeff is getting really frustrated as he's talking to him. Like, he starts talking about his daughters, and Jeff is like, "Let's just say hi to them all, like, at once." And he's like, "Oh, you want me to go through every single one?" And Jeff's like, "No, no, 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 no." And he's like, "Okay, well, let me just quickly go through them." And then he names every single one. Like, there were a lot of those moments. And when he talks about how he has stories for everything, I watched some of these, you know, K-pop reaction videos. He's like watching, like, a K-pop video, and he's like, "Oh, Route 66. Let me tell you about Route 66 sometime." What Route 66 was
yeah, they I went know. Through the country. I drove through it with Jordan, and that was a show. We got it.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, I think he's lovable. I don't think people are, like, really going to, like, be able to connect super well with him. And I don't think he's going to be any sort of, like, mover and shaker by any means.
I'm intrigued. I'm interested to know why he's here. I'm interested to see him in the house because he also, Alex, has, like, this Godfather vibe to him. But he's not really talking about, like, playing aggressively in the game. So I think it could be really fascinating to see how this is going to turn out for Kevin.
He's the Big Brother Dan Lembo.
Is he the Dan Lembo? Is he this generation's Jack Owens? I think it's fun. I'm glad he's here. But that usually I feel like that when we have somebody who's like this much of an outlier in terms of casting, that we just see him for a second and say, "Oh, okay, I get it." Like, you know, we see exactly what casting saw. I'm not sure if I see it yet.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. He's going to have some obstacles to overcome. Like, you know, maybe he goes to bed earlier than most people. And if these people stay up late, that could be an obstacle. We've seen that in the past. He might have a hard time relating to the cast. This is a cast that Taryn mentioned at the top of the show that veers a little older than most. But, I mean, he could still find a hard time relating because he is, you know, pretty far and away the oldest player out there. I think he really needs to do a better job kind of listening. Like, I know he has stories and he wants to ingratiate himself to people, but I think listening is going to be key. Given that he's from Massachusetts, I'll say he needs to really channel his inner Dr. Sean McGuire and really do a good job just listening. Okay.
I think that Jack Owens is a good comparison. I think he's kind of he makes me think of a less strategically focused Jack Owens, where I think he will like bond with one or two people really strongly. The rest of the people will like him a lot, but that'll be it. And he's just not going to be as strategic as Jack tried to be.
Right. I revised my prediction of him being a final two loser. He'll be a final three loser where people won't want to take him to the end because the jury will want to give him the money because he has seven kids.
Yeah, and like I said, I think he'll be lovable, so I think that they'll be scared of that.
Yeah.
But right, it's like, why would you vote him out? I mean, he doesn't seem like he's going to be a comp threat just based off appearances alone, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
Okay, also, he was on the Geraldo show and won a hunk contest, so there's that. He also was Mr. Massachusetts 1986.
Yeah, I can't wait till we see these Instagram posts for Throwback Thursday.
Yeah, no, that'll be coming up. That'll be coming up.
It's gonna be
all right. So, Kevin Schluber, I feel like also a pretty good chance that we get like a Big Brother 10 Jerry first HOH for Kevin. Taryn, what do you think of that?
That's definitely possible. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It depends on the comp. Like, if it's an endurance comp, I don't know if he's going to do that well. If it's something where people can give it to him, I think he would be the person that everybody says, well, let's give it to Kevin because he seems like a nice guy.
Mm-hmm. So, do we know anything about his sort of background with Big Brother? That do we know? Was he recruited? Did he watch the show?
He sent in the tape on a dare, right?
His family, yeah, his family told him, we want you to do this. Like I said, it's like they stuck a camera in his face. They're like, do this for us, for our entertainment. The thing I want to know about Kevin is, do you think he'll be able to, you know, we know he likes to come up with his own, like, terms for things. So he calls hashtags slash tags, and he calls California the starshine state. Mm-hmm. Is he going to try and reinvent some Big Brother lingo here?
Okay.
Will we hear him say twits when he means tweets?
Yeah. So you think that he's going to say, like, they have a thing called have-nots. I call them have-ins.
Yes.
Like, he's just going to, like, wait, why? It doesn't make sense. Like,
you're going on the chop-chop. Wait, you mean the block? Like, wait, what are you doing here?
That'll be good. Yeah. I think that we're going to have a lot of fun with Kevin this summer.
Okay. I hope so, yeah.
All right. And Kevin's daughters are in the chat room. They say that he is not a recruit.
There you go.
Okay. Oh, so he's
sending that tape.
He's ready to go. Yeah. Give us any other piece of insight that we could use to find out more about Kevin. And I think he's going to be fun to watch play this season. We have a quick question about Kevin. This is from Steven. Who's the most likely to work with Kevin? What do we think? Does he end up bonding with a bro? Does he end up having the Jack and Erica relationship, Alex?
Hard to say. I think, he could go a lot of different ways, I think. I mean, I think, you know, what he needs to do is being amenable to work with the people who seem interested in working with him, because there's going to be some players in there naturally who aren't looking at him because they're looking at, like, girls their age and who are the cute boys that aren't wearing shirts, and they're not going to be paying attention to Kevin right off the bat. So I think anyone that's, you know, open to, you know, approaching him and engaging him from, you know, just like an open sense of dialogue, like, that's who he needs to want to move forward with. Flexibility is going to be the key.
Okay. I think he has so many daughters. I think that he will much more easily bond with the women. I think he would totally find there's going to be one woman there who just, like, really likes him, and I think there's going to be a strong bond there.
Okay, let's take another question. This is from Nostradamus Ben. Can our nickname for Kevin be the Godfather, a mix of William Dafoe in Spider-Man and the Godfather? Okay.
Oh, the Goblin. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a little bit of a reach.
A little bit. Although, yeah. I like the Willem Dafoe comparison.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about one other guy who's going to be on the season. Actually, we have one more question on Kevin. Okay. Let's go and take Ramses. Here is Ramses, 21. He is friendly, quirky, and energetic. He is a cosplayer. Taryn, they asked him which Big Brother cast members do you like most. He said Dan freaking Giesling.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
who else?
Okay. All right, so here he is, Ramses. Alex, what are you thinking? Oh wait, hold on. We didn't do friendship or pissed for Kevin. Are we all friendship on Kevin? We'll give him benefit of the doubt.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah,
friendship.
Okay. All right, let's talk about Ramses.
Yeah. Yes. So I think, you know, it's probably, like, I like Ramses, I think, more than Cameron on paper, but I think they both kind of represent the super fans from this male half. You know what I mean? Like, they're the two that, and of course, they're the two with glasses. Like, it's a tale as old as time at this point. Like, you know, if you're trying to figure out who's studied this game, just look around and see who's wearing them when you get in there. But I think he has a lot of potential. I just worry about him overplaying out of the gate. He seems really excited to want to play the game and get in there and mix it up. And he knows what to do. I think the question with him will just be, can he execute? Can he find the people that want to work with him that allow him to make the moves he's going to want to make in there?
Yeah. Okay. Taryn, how are you feeling for Ramses?
Ramses with an S. I like Ramses a lot. I enjoy him. Do I think he's going to do well? I don't. I think he's talking about his social game a lot. I think he's relying way too much on it. I'm not sure that his social game is going to do well, especially in this house, which is skewing older. He is kind of young here, and he has this very bubbly personality, and I don't think there's a lot of bubbly personalities in this house, so I'm not sure that's going to like mesh well. He reminds me a little bit of like Team Fun from Amazing
Race.
Well,
yeah, I've seen that as well. He's like if Team Fun from the Amazing Race had a baby, that would be Ramses.
Yeah. I love that he's super hooked up.
This is their kid from the future, Ramses.
There you go.
Fun meter is all the way up.
I love that he's a super fan. I just wish that translated more to like talking about knowledge of the game rather than just like knowledge of past house guests and like being able to throw shade at Big Meech. Like
there's a lot of that going around these days.
Yeah, there is. I mean, hey, he's in on the right vibe, right? He's on the same wavelength as Will Kirby. So
yes, he's like I'm gonna do everything that Dr. Will does, starting with coming for Big Meech.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think what he needs to do is be like a younger brother kind of figure where he gets taken under the wing of some people. I don't want him to be somebody that comes off as shady in any way. I think that's possible for him. As long as he seems harmless and he seems he doesn't get on people's nerves, I think he can be taken kind of far, and then maybe he can step up his game as a super fan, as somebody that's hopefully studying a lot. He can have that kind of trajectory. But I'm not super confident going into this particular cast for him.
So I think the interesting thing here with Ramses is you have Ramses and you have Cameron. The two people that could potentially get painted with that Steve or Ian, okay, get rid of this guy because they're early or because they could win and they could get targeted early. But do you think that both of them end up with that sort of target on their back, Alex? Or does it end up with they're both like trying to paint it on the other one and the other one is able to move on?
Yeah, no, I think one of them probably should make it somewhat far. I mean, you know, like there's going to be probably a majority alliance formed within the first few weeks to try to just like get to jury. I mean, that's what we often see except for the seasons where really the divide comes down to personal feelings and two sides of the house that just hate each other and isolate themselves and don't really even talk to each other. So, I mean, on that note, I think it'll be a situation where whichever one of them kind of sticks their head out the furthest, I think, is probably in the most danger. So like if Cameron comes out and wins a competition because he's this snowboarder and he wants to show his athleticism in addition to his ability to solve the Rubik's Cube, then I think he's in more trouble. But I think, you know, we could conversely see Ramses come out and really play, you know, the Brian Hart, you know, Audrey type of just play, you know, 2 months of Big Brother in a week or two. And, you know, feeds come on and we find out everyone's already talked about the final two deals he's made with everyone and he's already had his spot blown up. So, you know, I think it could go either way. It just depends on who's playing hardest, fastest.
Now, one thing that I was not impressed with from Ramses that Jeff asked him, all right, do you have any hidden talents that you can do? And so he talks about this in his bio also. When I poke my cheek, my lip twitches. This was the most unimpressive thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. It was, he's like, it was bad. It? And it was awkward, too.
Like, you see it? You see it? Like Jeff was like, not
I'll
really.
I'll take your word for it.
Dude. Yeah, sure. Whatever.
I wrote down, not good under pressure, because like he's asked this question and this is the best thing that he can think of. And like, he can't even sell it well. He's like, this isn't even like a talent, but here let me poke my cheek. It really didn't come off very well. I think he is absolutely the kind of person who, you know, if he's asked a question that he needs to lie about, he's going to be like, you know, Nicole Franzel style. Like, what are you saying? I can't remember what you said.
It's not an impressive talent. He should lose that.
Yeah.
Should lose that. Cut it out.
Look,
don't do that anymore.
Look, hey, see what I'm doing? I've got one and one and that's two.
Yeah. So I don't know about that, Ramses. I would lose that if you can. Learn a new stupid human trick. Okay. All right. Do we feel like, is there a scenario? Does he have Steve upside, Alex?
I'm sure potentially because, you know, yeah, he knows all the things. You know what I mean? He's studied the seasons. He knew who Ika was immediately. He's the only person where with the Ika interviews, when you come in, he's already talking and it's immediately clear this is someone who knows who this is. I mean, this is a student of Big Brother. So yeah, we've been wrong before about these people. They've proved us wrong before and done very, very well. But
the key
is
somebody that's this young, like he is, who's 21, mm-hmm. who knows everything, that he's super vulnerable in the first month. That in the first few weeks, you know, this is when Ian is like climbing under couches and everybody is laughing. And Steve is like the closest he came to going home was in that first week. That if he can survive into August, he's got a great shot at this thing. But if he is somebody who comes in sort of like really, you know, a super young, super excited, if people sort of say, okay, and he's also got that nerd vibe that they say, okay, he could win if he stays around, then he's in a lot of trouble. If he can make it a few weeks, then he's got a really great shot.
Yeah, I think that's probably pretty accurate.
Okay. All right. So let's take some more questions from you guys. Who's the bigger super fan, Ramses or Cameron? Taryn, if they played Big Brother Jeopardy, who's going to win?
I think Cameron.
Cameron. Alex?
I don't think we have enough information to answer that question.
Okay.
That's the
point.
I
have a hard time with that. All right, well, I'll say Ramses then. Screw you, Taryn.
Yeah, don't be a fancy fencer, Ted, if you can. Do hashtag RHAP if you want to get questions about everybody up there before we start to wind things down for tonight. All right. So let's start to talk about our overall picks here for the season. Well, do you guys want to make a pick tonight that we've talked through everybody, or are you going to wait until the draft?
Well, if I make a pick tonight, it will be a lie so that people don't know who I'm going for in the draft.
Okay. All right. So do just I need to make a pick before we get to everything? Hmm.
Sure.
Okay. Boy, let's see. Let me think. Let me marinate on that for a minute. And
I mean, everyone knows who I'm picking to win.
You're gonna pick Matthew?
Yeah. Why wouldn't I pick Matt Kline? Sure, I'm gonna pick Matt Kline.
Okay. Well then you're doubling down, and people are gonna say that he's your favorite.
Well, you know where to find me.
What happened in Big Brother Canada 5 was that he didn't pick his favorite, and that was a mistake.
That was a mistake. All right, so he's going to learn from his mistake.
And then it'll go a different direction. But yes, that's the premise.
Yeah.
Taryn, the initial premise.
Do you have a lot of people that you feel like have winner upside here?
I do. I think this is a different kind of cast. So, like normally you'd think there's, you know, if everybody fits the same sort of bucket, then you can say these people are the only ones that are really even have any chance to win, especially when there is returning players. Like last season, it was like they had a way better shot to win. But I think the field is pretty open here. I think that, you know, there are some nerdy guys, but they have some downsides too. I think there are some beefier guys with a lot more potential than some of the other people. And a lot of these people are fans. So I think that also changes the dynamic. So I'm definitely willing to say that I think the field is a bit more open than it usually is.
Yeah, it's almost like a Big Brother 16 type of situation without a Derek.
Okay.
If you will.
All right. Let's talk a little bit. Last night, I allowed Brent and Melissa to each talk about one observation they had from the guys, something that they wanted to highlight. Do you guys want to talk about one of the women in particular from the eight women competing in the house? A note or something that you came across that we didn't touch on last night?
I'm friendship on Dominique. I like her. I think she's going to potentially go far. I think she, you know, she's going to be an all-around competitor. It's just a question of whether or not she can find some people to work with. And I'm going to take a chance and say she can.
Okay.
So I'll bring a different perspective to the table on that one.
Taryn.
Yeah, very, very controversial take there, Alex. I guess I should point out the Ninja Warrior reference. People have been tweeting me. Jessie Graff is like the star of American Ninja Warrior, so that's an interesting thing. And then also it was a Jillian who talked about American Ninja Warrior in her bio. Mm-hmm. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So I need to make a pick. I will give you my pick tonight. I won't make you guys wait for it or for the draft. I really want to go with Cameron, but I won't. I think that's too much of a jinx to put on him. So I will go with somebody who I think that maybe this is a interesting field, a fun field, but maybe not a lot of people with a winner upside. So I'm going to go with the person who I think is well-rounded and very capable. Seems like that they are going to come in with a purpose. I'll go with Christmas. Chat room saw it. They saw it coming.
Oh, thought you were going to say Josh.
That's I wish, but look, yeah. I'm gonna play the field.
In with enthusiasm,
right? I'll go with Christmas. Why not? Okay,
are you going for the Christmas Cody final two?
By the way, I did pick Nicole. Can I get credit for it? I picked Nicole last year to win. I mean, can we check the archives on that? I mean, that was my
that sounds right to me.
I mean. That once,
what are you auditioning for the LFC now?
I heard this last night. This is more for the archives for my wife when she says that I never get anything right. I just want to say.
Yeah. All right, we'll put it on the board, Rob.
Once we had the four returning players who came into the house, I said, okay, this is my official pick. Nicole is my pick to win. Okay. All right. So I want to take some questions from the listeners as well. Scott's got them up. Here we go. Here is one from Brendan, who says, now that you guys have gone through the guys and the girls, who's coupling showmance, fomance, bromance, nomance? Okay, let's talk this through. Taryn, do you have a pick for a couple in the house?
A couple? I mean, you got to think that Matthew goes for Jessica, right?
Matthew and Jessica. Okay.
You could see it.
Yeah. All right.
It's probably already happening right now.
Yeah. I think Cody probably tries to pair up with Christmas. He says he wants to go for like a really physically dominant female. I think that obviously Christmas fits that role. Does Christmas like Cody though? That's the question.
I'm pretty sure she's married.
I don't know. Cody?
I think Christmas is married.
I thought there was a wedding scheduled for like September, but then she told Big Jeff she was single. I think there's actually a lot of nuance to that statement you just made, Rob. I think it's a very, very layered mystery, in fact.
Okay. All right. We'll see.
The relationship status of Christmas.
All right.
New mystery novel.
Okay. That's why Big Jeff is trying to get to the bottom of Facebook statuses.
Yeah.
I mean, I think
they'll pair up. I don't know. I don't like, because like I said, I don't think Cody is super interested in a showmance if he doesn't have to. And I'm not sure that Christmas is super amenable to that either. But I do think that they would be like a pair. They team up.
Okay. All right. Let's take another question. Island Girl, were you surprised how many house guests were Big Brother Canada fans from the Aika Wong interviews? I have not watched Aika's interviews. I do love me some Aika Wong, and I will watch them all before we get to the start of the season. Did you guys check those out?
Yeah.
Okay. So what are the highlights?
I think it was definitely clear that, certainly it was very, very abundantly clear that... Ramses knew who she was. And then, you know, certainly from the way it was presented, it seemed like Josh knew who she was and a couple other people knew who she was. I'm willing to give it the benefit of the doubt, but also I think it's important to keep in mind that the way the interviews are done, it was like about a minute and a half each person, and it really kind of like comes in from something. So who knows like what we saw before? Like they might have introduced her as Big Brother Canada's Aika Wong, at which point we could have seen a bit of like Alex Au, like, oh yeah, I recognize you. My glasses were just nearsighted. You know what I mean?
So a lot of that.
Hard to entirely say who really recognized Aika. Based on that lack of, like, we don't see them meeting her.
Okay. All right. So we'll see. All right. Kyle Dorr says, which of the men do you assume is going to be the most disappointing strategy-wise? Well, I mean, it's hard to say. Like, if somebody comes in and is, like, the Devin of the season, would you say they're disappointing strategy-wise?
Yes, but not television-wise.
Yeah, I think when you talk about disappointing strategy-wise, you're probably talking about somebody who you either are rooting for a lot and then they fail, kind of like a Paul, or somebody that's just like really boring.
Right, I think it's really boring. I think it basically like come in and be like a Clay where they're sort of like not really doing a lot strategy-wise and then they ultimately are giving up their game. So,
get it.
Yeah. I think maybe Jason.
Jason. Okay.
Yeah.
It's tricky. If we're limiting it only to the guys, I hate to say it, I think it could be Kevin. You could see him like a Joe Del Campo type situation.
Yeah.
You know?
You could definitely see that. And I'll say Cody.
Okay. Edmo Says, will there be a Glenn/Jody this season? I talked about this the other night. Taryn, do you think that there could be potentially somebody who goes home this Thursday or next Thursday?
I mean, it's certainly possible. There's a lot of Big Brother to show with no eviction if there's not that happening. But I don't know. That's kind of a weird thing. I guess they want to do more buybacks. It's definitely possible. I hope not, but I would put the odds at like at least 30%.
Yeah. I mean,
you just reminded me the Battle Back did allow them to have an extra episode. That's a thought. Will they show up at Victor's house in Louisiana and take the belt away? That's what I want.
Yeah. So
we need this again.
Yeah. I wonder if we could send somebody out on Thursday, but then give them that opportunity to come back, because otherwise we're going to have 2 hours Wednesday, Thursday, an hour on Sunday, an hour on Wednesday. So we're going to have 5 hours of Big Brother before we even get to one eviction. Like, that's a lot.
It's true.
That is a lot.
It's a lot.
I mean, that's as a fan of the show, I would love to see 5 hours to introduce the house guests before an eviction. But the fact that that's the case means it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So
okay, this is a question from Kirsten, who says, "Can you make sure to talk about how Cody looks like Jim Carrey in Dumb and Dumber tonight, please?" So Kirsten was saying this on Twitter. Alex, are you buying or selling that Cody looks like Jim Carrey in is his name Lloyd Christmas? So that's
Lloyd Christmas Abbott.
Lloyd Christmas, yes. Abbott. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he really, you know, the haircut's definitely there, and the vacant expression is there. So you're batting pretty close, okay, to 1,000, I suppose, already.
All right, and Taryn hasn't seen that movie.
No, I've seen that movie.
Okay. All right. Rich says, based on current fan reaction, most overrated and most underrated guy. Okay. This is fun. All right. Most overrated guy, Alex.
Oh, most overrated guy. I think the Big Brother community tends to rally around the super fans from the cast bios. And just because I feel like I've seen some things I'm not loving, I'm going to say Cameron.
Cameron. Okay.
And okay, did you want to continue with overrated,
underrated guy?
I'm gonna say Kevin, because I think a lot of people are gonna write him off right away, and I think just in that fact in and of itself, that's a reason why he's not gonna go anywhere for a while.
Okay, Taryn, overrated, underrated?
Well, that's kind of funny. Overrated, I might actually say, I hope I'm wrong, but I think Kevin might be overrated. In terms of the character, I think that people might be disappointed going into the season. Like, I know they like him now. He's fun and he's quirky, but a whole 100 days of that on feeds, I feel like people are going to get bored with him. And I also think maybe Matt a little bit overrated, in terms of what people are hoping from him on the season. Underrated. I think people are underestimating Cody's potential for entertainment and villainy. Okay.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. You talked me into Cody. I mean, I don't know. Is anybody really rating people that highly from these guys? I mean, I guess I might say that Josh could be overrated, because I don't know how he could live up to the hype at this point. But I think he can. I think he has a shot. He has a real shot to do it.
Plus, I think a lot of people are expecting him to go out in one of the first 2 weeks. So if he manages to outlast that, he's almost playing with house money from that point on.
Okay. All right. Then this is from Terry Lynn Conley. Taryn, are you going to the NHL awards? Come on. is Taryn Armstrong going to the NHL awards?
No.
No.
Thank you, Johnny Mac.
Okay. Thank you, Johnny Mac. Okay. Mr. Robot Taryn wants to ask, which house guest will receive a cease and desist letter after the season? From who? Who are they getting cease and desist letters from? From a showmance? Is that what they're getting a cease and desist letter from? Oh.
That's all I can figure.
Okay. So many choices. Okay. All right. I'm going to assume that that's probably the last question that we have. all right. Well, fun stuff. Of course, if you haven't checked it out, Taryn and I got together for But First, a Big Brother 2 blockumentary. Taryn and I went through 30 hours of Big Brother 2 in these last couple of weeks to bring you a 19-plus hour presentation that's available to check out. Taryn, why should people check out But First, a Big Brother 2 blockumentary between now and the start of the season?
Well, first of all, it was a lot of fun. People seem to have been enjoying it quite a lot. It's a very, very important season for the history of not only Big Brother, but reality TV as a whole. We talk about Dr. Will, who is so influential on Big Brother. There's so much to dig into there in terms of how strategy forms in the very first strategic season of the show. There's a lot of fun Rob impressions for Justin and Krista and Kent. Those are all great. And yeah, I mean, like, even if you haven't seen the season, just like, if you like Big Brother, if you're listening to this podcast, you clearly like Big Brother a lot. So you know, go back and look into what it was at the very beginning and where all these things come from. It was really a lot of fun, and I think it's hopefully very informative. So check it out.
We've gotten a lot of good feedback on that. So thanks to everybody who's spent the time listening to that. Go to robiswebsite.com/BB2 for that. And of course, I mentioned at the top of the show, but you can still get the live feeds of CBS All Access, robiswebsite.com/live feeds. If you want to wait a little bit and then get your week free and give it a shot, you can do that as well. Okay, Scott tells me we have a couple of late questions. Who's the most likely leader of the Majority Alliance? Alex, you have a thought on that?
Matt.
Matt, okay.
As good as anyone, why not?
Matt, you're really overhyping Matt. I feel like that if I were you, I would play it like, I don't know how he's going to be. He might be okay.
I really don't.
Yeah. There's a lot of
I really don't, but he seems social. He seems personable. I don't know him any more than I know the next person, but I know kind of what he does for a living, and I know that he did well with Jeff, and that's as good as anyone else has given me so far.
Okay.
I can't wait for the Reddit threads about, like, Alex Kidwell, so biased this season. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah. I'm
trying to do you a favor
that's
here.
That's fine.
Yeah. Giving you advice. Okay.
Not
Aubra says, who will be America's most hated player?
Cody.
Cody? My brother Cody?
Yeah.
My Eskimo brother Cody.
Matt. No, I have no idea.
Yeah. Okay.
I think it could be Matt too. Yeah.
All right. It could be.
All right, good. All right. Fun stuff. All right, what's the hashtag tonight?
Matt's
the hashtag.
It seemed funny to say it the three questions in a row.
Right. All right, here let's marinate on that. Give the chat room a chance to catch up. People are wondering and speculating what is the twist going to be. We might have some news dropping on that. Taryn, have you given any thought to this?
No.
Okay.
I don't want there to be one, Rob. Why would I give it thought?
Okay. Well, yeah. You can't will it to not existing, Taryn.
I can try, Rob. I can try.
Well, just wait until we get that house tour and they show off this not-so-beautiful new trailer in the backyard.
Woo!
We know what that means.
Yeah. Well, you think a roadkill is coming back?
Something like it. I could see it. Yeah. I think, you know, something that allows them to have – I think above all else, something that allows them to have a Sunday competition, to have a competition every day of the week seems very important to CBS.
Mm-hmm. I think they're done with Roadkill. I feel like everybody forgot that Roadkill was even on last season.
I don't think Roadkill's going to come back.
Yeah. I could see Battleback coming back,
beep,
though.
Beep,
yeah. I mean
– don't. Yeah. Yeah, battle back. I thought you said battle the block, and we were about to have words.
I mean, could the battle back exist on the Sunday show? Could they just do it as they go along? Is that possible?
I think that's very possible. Yeah.
You know?
I suppose.
Where if we can have an eviction the first week, and then by that second week have two people competing and have the battle back happening on Sunday night?
And also the Battleback house is like OTT, and we have feeds of that on All Access.
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to get double feeds, but that might be interesting. So, all right, we'll see. I'm sure that people will flip out whenever we see what the twist is going to be. But just remember, whatever it is, that it'll last for 3 weeks, and then we'll move on to something else. So try not to get too triggered, everybody. All right? So what's the hashtag officially? Do we have anything?
Eskimo brother.
What do you want to call it?
Eskimo brothers.
Slashtag.
My Eskimo brother Cody. Lloyd Christmas Abbott. What do you like?
Lloyd Christmas Abbott. That's pretty good.
The Godfather. Okay. All right. Taryn, I like that there was a comment that I saw earlier in the chat room that people said you look like you're at Starfleet Academy right now.
Right? It's pretty cool.
He does.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Right, we'll go hashtag Lloyd Christmas Abbott in honor of Kirsten's observation about the other Cody. So we got a lot of stuff. Alex, you want to tease what we're up to tomorrow?
Yeah. So tomorrow we are talking to winner of Big Brother Canada 5, Kevin Martin.
That around... Kevin Martin. Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead. Take it from there.
No, that slithering snake, that we'll hear what he has to say, but it'll probably be, don't trust anything he says. No, we're very excited to talk with Kevin. So glad we got a chance to do that before we get to Big Brother 19. It's a long time in the making, so be on the lookout for that as well. And then just a lot more coming your way as we're getting ready for our march to Big Brother 19. Be on the lookout for when the LFC is getting back together to talk and do a draft of the Big Brother 19 competitors.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
See if I finally lose.
All right. There you go. All right. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. Anything else I need to throw out there? No? Okay. So much fun over the last two nights. Thank you guys for checking us out live. At 1,000 people watching these live shows. Greatly appreciate all the support. And looking forward to a very fun season of Big Brother 19. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.